97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. A few minutes after 5 on your Tuesday morning, and happy you're here with us. If you're joining us, I think we are live this morning on all of the socials now. YouTube, X, Facebook, we got you covered. You get on there, and we will carry the show live each morning. So we're happy that that you're here with us, and we can get to the news of the day, which, you know, for all intents and purposes, may be World War III. I hate to drop that on you at this hour, but the possibility exists that the man the Democrats decided was incapable of running for president again because he's lost his noodles, his marbles, is now getting us on the brink of a nuclear war with Russia, just as he's about to leave office. I mean, would they really do that to try? Is that intentional, to try to screw up the Trump administration before it can even get started? I don't know. All I can tell you is overnight, Russia announced it's changed the rules on when it might use nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. It has relaxed the standard.
Well, allowing Ukraine to use U.S. weaponry, that's really scary, too, because I think that's escalating things. And I know that they're saying, well, that's because North Korea has put thousands of troops in Russia. But I think that just inches us that much closer to potentially World War III. And yes, ultimately, with Joe Biden being the president, he would have to authorize it. But let's be real. There's no way that Joe Biden is with it enough where he was able to make that. I don't think he was the driving force behind that decision. I don't know who was. I think it was somebody else who really wanted to do it. And Biden basically having, you know, 2 months left before he's out of there was kind of like, you know, and half alert at this point was kind of like, yeah, let's go.
Well,
sure.
The scary part of that is that, you know, there are people who just like in 2016, are willing to do anything to try to undermine or block Donald Trump from getting things done domestically. And one way to do that would be to distract the world by tying us up in a war internationally. And Trump's been the one fighting against that, despite the claims during the election that he would get us into a war in 2016. Remember that? He'll get us into a war, and it's just it's laughable and scary, to be honest, what's going on this morning. And as a result of that, we've reached out to a Jonathan Savage, who is reporting from Europe for Fox News. He's been covering the Ukraine. Trey Yingst, I believe, sat down with Vladimir Zelensky yesterday, and the reaction now is, yes, Zelensky's been begging to fire missiles further into Russia. They're U.S. missiles, and now Russia's reacting to that. So in the background of all of this, Donald Trump can't do anything because he's not president yet. So I don't know what happens next. We will check in with Jonathan Savage here at the bottom of the hour at about 6:35. So be sure and stay tuned for that. We're going to give away some Guns N' Hoses tickets today. Remember when parts of Idaho tried to secede from the state? Was it Idaho or was it Oregon? I'm trying to remember.
Oregon into Idaho.
One of the western states, a couple of the counties decided that they didn't like the liberal bent the state's politics were taking. So a few years ago, they voted to try to secede and move their counties into the neighboring state. You may not be aware of this, but there are a couple of counties in Illinois that feel the same way.
I was going to say, I know that a lot of people want Chicago to be its own thing, because really, if you look at Illinois, it's red, 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 and then just like deep, big, deep, deep blue Chicago.
Big splotches of blue, like a mistake on a portrait or something. But regardless, we're going to talk to David Stokes about that a little later. I got to see Dave recently at the Show Me Institute's 20th anniversary celebration. He was telling me about this story, so I'm glad we're getting him on this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. Carl, first, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You've even got Morning Joe and Mika making the humiliating parade down to Mar-a-Lago to try and, change sides.
Miranda Devine there kind of making fun of Mika and Joe. That's not the worst of it. You should hear what Megyn Kelly said about him. We're going to get to that bite as soon as I can get it cleaned up.
Would you, as governor, allow state police and National Guard to carry out mass deportations?
We will not be participating in misguided efforts that harm our communities.
Interesting. That's Katie Hobbs, the one that supposedly won the governorship in Arizona a couple years ago. She claims she will not participate. I don't think Trump needs her, but it's interesting the tact some of these Democrat governors are taking to try to protect criminal aliens who are murdering their own citizens.
So she helps us, she gets the hell out of the way, because they're going to do it. And look, there's a clear line here, and they can't cross a clear line. I would suggest she read Title 8, United States Code 1324, Triple I.
Yeah, that's Tom Homan. That's the... That's the guy that's going to be handling all these border problems soon. And I would suggest Katie Hobbs and the mayor of Boston, Michelle Wu, who also made similar claims, might want to get out of his way.
We don't have to always focus on, you know, the 20% of things that we just can't seem to find a path. Let's look at the other 80.
I know most of you won't recognize that voice, although I have had her on my show before in the past once. I don't know if she'll ever come on again. That's the incoming Senate Majority Leader, Cindy O'Loughlin. Channel 2 went down and did a big glowing report on her yesterday as the first woman leader of the Missouri Senate. What I didn't hear in that report, and maybe I can get the reporter on the Fox 2 Capitol reporter on to ask her this. Or maybe we invite Cindy O'Loughlin on if she's willing to come on here. But in asking her this, I want you to hear what she says in this report. I'm going to play it for you. She takes a jab, number one, at Senate conservatives last year who clearly pushed for initiative petition reform that would have prevented the abortion that happened on the ballot in November. Would have prevented that. We would be dealing with that right now. She was one of two people that blocked that from happening. But now all she wants to do is get along. Play it, Carl, please.
You know, we've all committed to we're starting over. I'm willing to do that as long as it truly means starting over.
As leader of the Senate, Cindy O'Loughlin is tasked with assigning bills to committees and keeping decorum.
We don't have to always focus on, you know, the 20% of things that we just can't seem to find a path. Let's look at the other 80.
Yeah, you know what the 20% was? Initiative petition reform. That's what the 20% was. She absolutely, and along with Caleb Rowden, the then Senate Majority Leader, she was the whip last year, the Assistant Majority Leader, refused to do anything to stop that. Refused, despite all of the attempts by the conservatives in the Senate, the true conservatives, she blocked it, in my opinion. And that's not just my opinion. That's the opinion of a lot of people that were in the Senate. It could have gone forward. The House was ready to deal with it. And they just dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling.
I think that's definitely the biggest failure of the state legislature last year. And I think a lot of people, it sounds like Cindy O'Loughlin, want lawmakers to stand in a circle like they do in The Grinch and sing, you know, Kumbaya or like la-dee-da. Yeah. It's like, yes, there are going to be arguments, but some things like IP reform in this case are worth fighting for. Because it's that important. So yes, let's focus on the things that they agree on, but that doesn't mean that you discount and just cast aside some of the things that are so incredibly important in our state here because, you're disagreeing and it's getting tough.
My guess is the other 80% of things she wants to get done are supported by the lobbyists who've given her money. That's what I would say. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes this year. I hope we have a few senators down there willing, with the intestinal fortitude, to stand up and scream about this on the Senate floor.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that Bill Igel won't be in the Senate this year.
I just wanted you to hear from your illustrious leader. This is what we have in the state of Missouri with a super majority of so-called Republicans in charge down there. They could override a gubernatorial veto if they needed to, but they just don't have the intestinal fortitude to make hard decisions. They just won't do it. And the only explanation is whose back pocket are they in? That's the question you have to ask yourself. If you won't do the things that your constituents demand, explain yourself. So, you know, Channel 2 can be happy that she's making history as a woman. I don't care what the person's gender is. Get the job done. Because last year, you failed miserably. Spectacularly, you failed. All right, quick break here. Carl, who's bringing us today's national anthem?
So, Mark, I got two emails yesterday, and I'm going to take care of one today and one tomorrow.
All right, hit it.
Jeremy Boyer is playing our anthem.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court has just ruled that you cannot count undated or misdated ballots. It's a little involved, but the end result could potentially keep things as they are. Alexis.
Yeah, Fox yesterday with the breaking news out of Pennsylvania. Didn't we just talk about that yesterday morning, of course, with Hans von Spakovsky about 24 hours ago, about how there's no way that was going to stand. The Bucks County Commission couldn't just decide they were going to count ballots, get this, that had no signatures or were improperly filled out, but they were going to count them anyway in an effort to harvest votes to change the outcome of that election. And they were bold about it. Even Alexis McAdams was kind of shocked as she was reporting on it for Fox.
But this is the second time, okay, the Supreme Court there in Pennsylvania made this decision, but the recount does continue as the Supreme Court ruled again they cannot count these ballots right now that are illegal. So I don't know why they were trying to count them anyway. They didn't have the dates. They didn't have the signatures. So the whole thing was going a little bit wrong there. As Democrats, though, on some election boards said they were openly breaking the law because they said the law has been broken in the past with other things. So they were counting ballots that were missing signatures and dates to try and put a spotlight on this, they said, to overturn the election results.
They admitted what they were trying to do. They were going to count them anyway. It didn't matter. It was like the year 2000 all over again, right?
We call that desperation.
Wow.
What was the state? I know this is very different, but what was the state that said, we don't even care if it's postmarked, we're gonna count it anyway, even if it comes in days after the election is over, who cares if it has a date?
Yeah, I read that story.
It was a state out west.
Yeah, it might have been. But they've changed the rules to include that. At least in Pennsylvania, there's a little bit of common sense in the Supreme Court, and they've got a majority of Democrats on that Supreme Court. So that was just more shocking news about people trying to change. That's how important the balance of power is in the Senate. This morning on the Gordon Deal Show, Kim and I were driving in. I'm sure you listened to the reporter talking about the lily-livered, spineless Republicans that they know of already in the Senate, at least three of them. So they have a 53-vote majority right now. So they went out and they found at least three of them who hate Donald Trump. Mitt Romney-like Republicans is how they described one of them, who voted to censure Trump. One of them voted to impeach Trump in the last round. They went and they talked to Joni Ernst from Iowa, who's got questions about, Gabby.
Tulsi Gabbard. Who she was concerned about, yeah.
Yeah. So they're already looking for ways that they can whip up opposition. I've got a little message for those people, and they don't care what I think, but they need to get on board. The American people have spoken. This is not about their little district at home one of these days, and one of them is up for election in 2 years. If he fights Trump on this, he will not be in the Senate in 2 years. He will get voted out. But they need to pay attention to what happened on November 5th. It was a tidal wave of support for Donald Trump. It was a tidal wave in places no one expected at all, including places like the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago, where Donald Trump got a tremendously higher number of votes than most Republicans ever get.
And Miami-Dade County.
Areas.
That
Miami-Dade
was also
County,
huge.
All of these.
Yep.
So there was a groundswell of support for what Trump is trying to do. If one of these lily-livered rhinos stands up and tries to block this, there are going to be some serious repercussions in the long run. I really hope John Thune is more of a man than I thought because I didn't support him for that Senate leadership position. I think he's sort of been under McConnell for so long, he'll act a lot like him. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope he stands up to these people and says, you will get in line and you're going to vote and we're going to finally take advantage of power. The Democrats do it. Why don't we do it? That's the question. We're going to get to Kim on a Whim in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Kim on a Whim.
We have to talk about this story out of Georgia where a 41-year-old mom is now facing criminal charges. She's facing reckless endangerment, a $1,000 fine, and 1 year in jail for allowing her 11-year-old son to walk less than a mile to a local store. It was less than a mile from her home. Again, this is in Georgia. And I want to play part of this report on this story.
He knows how to get home. He knows how to get there. So, again, I wasn't concerned for his safety.
But 5 hours later, Patterson was arrested on suspicion of reckless conduct, which carries up to a year in jail.
Last time I checked, it wasn't illegal for a kid to walk to the store.
It is when they're 10 years old.
Her arrest warrant claiming she willingly and knowingly did endanger the bodily safety of her juvenile son.
By the way, that report says 10. A lot of the articles say 11, a year difference.
Is it a law?
Well, not that I've seen, but I guess I'm a little confused about this whole situation. So what happens is this neighbor sees this son, who's, again, 10 or 11, walking by himself a mile or so from the home and asks the boy, are you okay? The boy says yes. The neighbor proceeds to call 911 anyway. So that's when the cops drove the kid home. And then you heard in their report, 5 hours later, they come and arrest this mom in front of her kids. Well, it continues. Just days after the arrest, a case manager from the Division of Family and Children Services arrives at her home for a home visit, interviewed her oldest son at his school. And then this is where it really just gets ridiculous. The Division of Family and Children Services presented this mom, Brittany Patterson, with a so-called safety plan that they wanted her to sign. And what it would do is it would require her to delegate a so-called safety person to be a knowing participant and guardian and watch over the children whenever she leaves home. It would also require her to download an app on her son's cell phone that would allow her to monitor his location. And the mom refused to do that. They said, look, ma'am, if you sign this safety plan, you have that designated safety person, you download that app to track basically his every move, we're going to drop the criminal charge against you, the reckless endangerment. And the mom, to her credit, said, I'm not doing that. My take on this is, well, first of all, would I allow my son or daughter to do that? I think it's circumstantial. I think at some point you have to allow them to have a sense of independence. But I think it depends on the kid, right? Like, is there a level of trust there? Is the child responsible? This mom apparently lives in a smaller town in Georgia, so it's not like the kid's walking by him or herself in downtown St. Louis. So it's very different in that particular way. So I think it's dependent on many things, but I would consider doing this. I think that, you know, 10 or 11 years old, I think I was babysitting neighbor kids. You know, certainly by 12, 13 years old, I was babysitting younger kids. I think there is a level of responsibility that you can start giving these kids and a sense of independence. And I think that yes, things are scary right now, but we can't just shelter our kids forever.
If I have two questions. Number one, is there something about this mother situation that we don't know? Has the neighbor seen other evidence of neglect of her leaving the kids home alone while she goes to a bar and hangs out? I mean, is there any of that that we don't know? Did the story mention that at all?
It did not mention it. Now, so, could that be the case? Absolutely.
I mean, I just wondered what their suspicion was that these kids were somehow in danger.
I believe that this mom has several kids and she homeschools them.
Okay. All right.
I have my take would be that's probably not what is happening here, but it could be.
So my take, if that's not the case, is that every parent in the 1960s would have been put in jail if this was the standard. I mean, honestly, at 6 or 7 years old, I mean, I know I wasn't that old, we were riding bikes around our neighborhood far out of sight of our parents. I don't know if it was a full mile. And we'd be gone for hours. They had no idea where we were.
You come back when the streetlights go on, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know, at age 7 if I was out that late, but I was certainly out of my parents' field of vision at that point. I know it was a different time, but I just don't know why you. When did we decide as a society that we can completely dictate every move somebody makes as a parent? We clearly don't. There's no discipline anymore. If you want to enforce rules against parents, start forcing them to have some discipline on their children when they do something wrong. And that might have a bigger impact on society than putting this woman in jail because she let her kid walk to a grocery store.
Well, now there's a GoFundMe page that's been set up because obviously there's been a big outpouring of support for the mom, and that has already raised about $54,000. And an attorney has agreed to work for her pro bono, so she won't be having to pay legal fees. I support
unless there's
this
more
mom,
to the story, I just don't know. I just can't imagine what that would be.
I'm looking up more about laws specifically in Georgia where this happened. And one of them says, assuming that this is accurate, it says children 13 years and older who are an adequate level of maturity may be left alone and may perform the role of babysitter.
Yeah, but what if your kid's out with 10 other kids age 10 or 11 riding their bikes and they happen to be a half mile from home? I mean, the cops round them all up, arrest all their parents and fine them?
Well, that's the thing. First of all, it sounds like when this happened, maybe the kid was 10 because it happened late October, and maybe he's since then turned 11. I where do you draw the line?
It seems like government overreach.
Well, absolutely does.
Where is this in Georgia? Do you know the town?
Let me look up the specific town.
I mean, if it's a very rural area, again, I have a hard time believing you would have local elected officials who would act like that in some of these more rural areas.
Mineral Bluff, a town of just 370 people. Okay, guys, this is like the Hallmark movies. I'm sorry. Again, there's so many things that you have to consider, I think, when you're determining what your stance is on this case. This is not downtown St. Louis. This is not Detroit. This is not... I don't know. I could think of a million other places where this would be ridiculous. But a town like Mineral Bluff, Georgia, of just 370 people, this is the kind of town where I'm assuming everybody knows everybody's business. You know the local grocer, you know the butcher, you know all the people in town.
Mineral Bluff is on the map, baby. Wow, this is...
Fannin County, if I'm saying that correctly, F-A-N-N-I-N.
Yeah, it's in the looks like it's in the upstate of Georgia.
They forced her to
Chattahoochee Oconee National Forest. I used to cover stories up there all the time. That's wild that's where that is.
I'm just surprised that they were trying to force her to sign this safety plan and track him. That just seems that is really what seems ridiculous. I really support this mom. This is exactly what I would do if this happened to me. I would be like, absolutely not. You're not telling me, you're not forcing me to try to sign some safety plan and track my son. I'll raise my children the way that I think that they should be raised. Thank you very much. You're not going to tell me what to do in this way. But the fact that they're trying to say neglect, reckless endangerment, I mean, is this the next step where parents are all going to have to GPS monitor their kids? Are all the kids going to have to wear ankle bracelets as they head out to play with their kids?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's over the line. And for a small town like that, for all we know, the police chief is somebody she used to date and he's trying to get even with her. I mean, who knows?
Or maybe the neighbor. What does the neighbor think about all this? Now that
Gladys
this has become
Kravitz
a national
is
story.
Trying to get her neighbor in trouble over all this, right?
Gladys.
What a topical reference, Mark Cox.
Who is that?
That's the neighbor from Bewitched.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she used to always peek out the curtains and see what was going on with the neighbors across the street who she suspected were up to no good.
The 60-plus crowd loved that.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't fit into that crowd.
Yeah, but I thought the Gladys Kravitz reference, most people would probably get that. Not people Kim's age, maybe.
The 60-plus crowd
Yeah,
loved
I was about
that
half show. That age. Just over half.
All right. Coming up, I'll get to more on this Megyn Kelly reaction to Mika and Joe going on bended knee to Mar-a-Lago to try to, engender some friendliness or new relationship with Donald Trump after referring to him as Hitler for the past 7 years. It's pretty funny when you hear what Megyn Kelly said about it. We'll be back in just a minute.
As for us, we also let him know that we will continue to speak truth to power and push back hard when called for, as we have with all presidents.
Don't be mistaken. We're not here to defend or normalize Donald Trump. We're here to report on him.
Yeah, just a couple of regular old journalists doing our job. Meek and Joe. Haven't done anything the past 7 years. Fox ran a clip yesterday during the Bret Baier show with a montage. I should probably try to go back and find it, of some of the outrageous things they've said about Donald Trump since 2016. I mean, Hitler, threat to America, insurrectionist, violent capital overthrow, blah, blah, blah. It just goes on and on and on and on. And these two suck-ups decided that they were going to go meet with Hitler, which is really, honestly, the only other way to describe it, right? They have no... They could stay on the air for the next 4 years and do what they've been doing against Trump, but they like the celebrity aspect of getting to go on and say, we went down there and we faced him. They didn't face him. They went down there and they kissed his ring. They did. They want to curry favor with Hitler. And Megyn Kelly, who, you know, I've disagreed with her a bit on things in the past, but I really am starting to like her again, had this to say, and we had to clean it up first. Ethan was in there working on it a minute ago, but this was her reaction coming out of that clip on her show yesterday.
I searched for a way to respond appropriately, and I called on my 10 years as a litigator in addition to my now 20 as a journalist, and I think I found the perfect phrase, go yourselves. Go yourselves, you dishonest jokes of faux journalists. What an absurd farce that was, Glenn. Which one was insincere? He's Hitler? Or now we're going to speak truth to power and find a way of speaking to and working with Donald Trump? Which one was a lie?
It's true.
Wow.
It's true. I mean... I said it yesterday when we first found out about it. I ran you that bite yesterday morning when they admitted that they'd gone to Mar-a-Lago. You know, we requested it. We asked for it on Thursday, and the invitation came in, and we hopped on a jet and flew to Mar-a-Lago.
Do you think they wanted to do it, or do you think it was someone behind the scenes who was really pushing, and they reluctantly agreed?
No, I think I don't know the answer to that. These are two of the most disingenuous individuals I've ever met. And Mika Brzezinski's defense yesterday was, well, you know, her dad was Big New Brzezinski. He was Jimmy Carter's, like, national security advisor, I think was his title under Carter. And my father met with a lot of, dangerous people around the world. And he believed in, you know, giving everybody a chance. And that's why we felt we should go meet with Donald Trump. Well, Donald Trump now holds the reins of power in the country, and you suddenly decided you needed to go kiss his rear end because you want that celebrity. You want to be in the presence of him, the man you referred to as Hitler. Listen to Scott Jennings yesterday. I thought he had some pointy-headed professor that he was arguing with on CNN about this whole thing, and he's like, listen, I see what's going on here. Listen,
I did not expect Hitler to get so many meeting requests, first from Joe Biden, now from Mika and Joe. It's amazing that literal Hitler is getting all these meeting requests. And what it tells me, professor, is that all the rhetoric that came from the left, from the Democrats, from the White House, from Kamala Harris and everyone else before the election, all of the rhetoric, the fascism, the Hitler, the Nazi rally at him, it was all a bunch of BS. They didn't mean any of it. And if I were in the Democrat sort of rabble's shoes, I would be looking at all my leaders and going, did you just BS me for an entire 6 weeks before the election?
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I wonder if they now think, if Mika and Joe think that this is going to in some way make it where Trump agrees to go on their show or whatever the case may be.
He might.
He might, but this doesn't really mean much. It just means that they met. For all we know, Trump could basically be saying, yeah, I met with you, forget you. You guys, have, you know, Trump is all about loyalty. We know that people like Joe and Mika and all the lefties on mainstream media, you know, leading up to the election, they were essentially throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks. They were trying to see what was going to resonate with enough people to get them to convince them to vote against Donald Trump. I don't even know if they cared that it was for Kamala Harris. They just did not want Donald Trump in office.
Well, that's obvious from all of the crap they tried, as you mentioned, to it threw against the wall, the lawsuits, the impeachments, the criminal charges, anything they could try to do to hurt him. But the loyalty thing, you're right. He's shunned Nikki Haley. He's shunned Mike Pompeo now. I can't imagine him warming up to Mika and Joe. But I will say, unlike Kamala Harris, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance have been willing to take on contentious interviews. And Donald Trump may see a time coming when he needs to go on MSNBC and tell people what he's doing. Like today, they're claiming it's fascist. He's going to use the U.S. military to round people up in detention camps. He might get a U.S. citizen by mistake. There are like 2 million people in the United States that already have detention orders that have been ordered by a judge that the Biden administration has just ignored. Those are the first 2 million people he's going to round up, just so you know. These are not American citizens. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.